Good morning, Bridge. This is my good friend Tegan, and she has agreed, right? And you have agreed to come out and help me begin the sermon, right? The message. So greetings to all of you here at the Bridge, and greetings to those of you who are online, and especially greetings to our veterans. Again, I would like to also say thank you so much for serving. So what I'd like Tegan to do is to illustrate something that was we just sang about in the song. So Tegan has agreed to allow me to blindfold her. Okay? Is that okay? Can you see? Can you breathe okay, though? Can you breathe? Okay? I want you to be able to breathe. Okay? Can you see? Okay? Okay. All right. Now, what we're going to do is I'm going to, are you okay? Does it need to be tighter? Okay. What I'm going to do is I'm going to spin Tegan around, and then she is going to walk through all of this expensive equipment up here, and this 2-foot drop. Mom and Dad, I didn't mention this to you when I asked Tegan to come up, did I? Oh, sorry. So, are you ready? Okay, let's spin you around. Woo! Woo! Oh, we better tighten that up a little bit, huh? All right, is that better? All right. Oh, you can still see. Oh, wow! We better do this better. Okay, all right. All right. Let's see if we can get this right. All right. Higher? Tie it higher. All right. Like that? Is that good? Can you see? You can? You are a really good seer. How can you see?
I can only see the bright light.
You can only see the bright light. That's okay. All right. That's good enough. All right. This is totally unpracticed. Can you tell? So you know that Tegan is a volunteer, okay? So now it's falling down already. All right. So tell you what, Tegan, not only am I going to blindfold you, but I want you to close your eyes because this just isn't working for me. Woo! All right. All right. All right. Ready? Let's twin. Woo! Spin, 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 spin. Okay, now you can walk all the way around. Walk anywhere you want because you won't have to worry about anything. Oh, look out for the, there's a cord right here. Okay. Okay, just keep walking. Keep walking. Keep walking. Oh, there's drum set right here. We better turn over this direction. Okay, go ahead. Just keep walking. Keep walking. Keep walking. Oh, we better turn just a little bit so we don't bump into the... No, there's some cords right here. Better big step. Big step. All right. Okay, you can just keep walking. You can just keep walking. Keep walking. No big. Oh, I think you know. I was going to make you walk off the edge. Oh, no. Woo. All right. No, you can come right back up here again. Tegan, you did great. So, my whole point was in that last song that we just sang, and we talked about it while we were singing, that you had to trust me, right? Right? You could have gotten hurt. We could have broken all kinds of musical instruments up here. Wouldn't have bothered me, but I think the musicians would have been upset. So you trusted me, and I was your guide, right? So that's what we're going to talk about today. So thank you, Tegan. Appreciate it so much. All right. Thank you. So carefully come down. All right. So, we want to talk about a guide today. Actually, the guide is called a paraclete. Paraclete sounds a lot like a parakeet, but paraclete is just the Greek word for another kind of bird. It's the Greek word for comforter or advocate or encourager or corrector. You see, the word paraclete is what the Holy Spirit does. He guides us, just like I tried to guide Tegan, keeping us out of danger, directing us which direction we should go. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to just recognize that on our journey, we have a guide, the paraclete, the Holy Spirit, who guides us through life. Our lesson is based on John chapter 14, verses 23 to 29. I'll have it up on the screen. Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." So this sentence right here, "all this I have spoken to you while still with you," gives you a little bit of the context. This is part of Jesus' ongoing conversation with his disciples just before he goes off to be crucified. And their relationship with Jesus is going to be dramatically changed. Even after he rises from the dead, the relationship will not be the same. So he's preparing them for that time when he is not going to be with them. I'm telling you this while I am still with you. Now the disciples are going, "Jesus has guided every step of our way for the last 3 years. How are we going to do this? I don't know how." And that's where Jesus makes this promise. He promises the Holy Spirit. He calls it the Advocate here. I don't particularly like the word advocate, but it's that word paraclete, this idea that the Holy Spirit is going to be the guide, the encourager, the teacher. Whatever you need, the Holy Spirit is going to give you. That's what a paraclete does. He guides you and keeps you safe and directs you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. So I want you to know that you are not facing your life ahead alone. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit as a guide. That's the message for the apostles. That's our message for us today, too, as we go through life. We're not facing it alone. That's, in my mind, kind of the hinge verse in this text. And then before and after, Jesus gives some explanation. Why do we need some guidance? Where is the Holy Spirit going to guide us to? So in the first section, there are several references to love. He is going to guide us into a place of love. And in the second section, down below, verse 27, he's going to guide us into a place of peace. Now, I'm going to take the last one first, and then we'll go back up to love. Jesus promises, "I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send this guide who will guide you into a place of peace." Now, I'll be honest, peace is a hard place to find. This past week, Austin Eubanks became the face for me of the whole idea that peace is a hard place to find. Maybe you know the story of Austin. 20 years ago, Austin was a high school senior walking into his library with his best friend. And shortly after they walked into the library, a teacher rushed into the library and said, "Hide, he's got a gun." So Austin and his best friend hid under a table, a library table. And in a few moments, Austin was lying in a pool of blood, his best friend dead beside him, Austin with two wounds himself. Paramedics came and took him out of that Columbine High School. Here's a young man, 17 years old, who had never, according to his own words, he had never had any alcohol, he had never smoked, he had certainly never used hard drugs. But he was given some narcotics for the physical pain. The physical pain very quickly went away, but he found out that he couldn't get rid of the emotional pain. And so very quickly he became addicted to those narcotics that had been first given to him for his physical pain. For over a decade, Austin battled addiction, looking for a place of peace. And he never found it. Finally, in 2012, he was admitted into a 14-month rehabilitation, inpatient rehabilitation program. God be praised that there are such programs. And he came out clean and sober. And in fact, he became, according to the website, an advocate. Interesting, the same exact word as our text. An advocate for mental health and drug addiction. He spoke all over the country. This past week, he became another victim of Columbine. We don't know exactly how he died, except his family just said what he had battled all his for the last 20 years had finally taken him. In some way, he died of a drug overdose. You see, peace is an incredibly hard place to find. Now, fortunately, many of us have not experienced the kind of emotional pain that Austin Eubanks experienced. But every one of us experiences pain. In fact, one of the dreams that I have over and over again as a pastor, that I would have the privilege of announcing to you that you would be able to live in a place without pain. That there would be no emotional pain that any of you would ever have to experience. But that's not what our God has promised in this world. And so what Austin Eubanks encouraged people to do, I encourage you to do, to lean into the pain, to acknowledge this is a place of pain. So then how can we possibly be led into a place of peace? How can the Holy Spirit be our guide into a place of peace when he warns us in advance that our hearts are going to be troubled, just like the disciples' hearts were troubled that night in the upper room? How can we find a place of peace? Well, I'd like to use a different translation for the word peace. It's a translation that comes from 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 26. In 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 26, the word peace, shalom, is translated, everything is all right. I believe the place of peace is the place where everything is all right. The story behind that lesson, a mom's only son has died, and she's rushing to the prophet Elisha. And the prophet's servant comes out to the woman, and he asks, peace? Shalom? Is everything all right? And the woman answers, shalom. Everything is all right. It was a time of great emotional pain for her. Shalom. Everything is all right. Can we find that place where everything is all right, even though we are in the midst of emotional pain, whatever that pain is caused by? That's what the Holy Spirit promises. He says, I'm going to give you that peace. Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives I unto you. How is he going to use the Holy Spirit to guide us into peace? First of all, it starts with remembering that we're at peace with God. You see, when you are in the midst of emotional pain, when you feel no peace, perhaps a passage from Isaiah haunts your mind as it does mine. Peace, peace, there is no peace for the wicked. Maybe I'm not at peace because God is angry with me. The Holy Spirit wants to guide us into a place of peace. Romans chapter 5, if you don't have it memorized, this is one of those, memorize it. Write it down on your sheet, Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. When you're in the midst of emotional pain, and Satan is saying, and this is happening because God is angry with you, the Holy Spirit wants to guide us back into that place of peace where everything is all right, because he says that in Christ, your God is at peace with you. In Christ, he has forgiven you. That place of peace where everything is all right is illustrated for me in 2 Kings chapter 6. In 2 Kings chapter 6, that same prophet Elisha that I mentioned before has been using supernatural revelation from God to tell the king of Israel where the enemy king, the king of Aram, is going to attack. And so the king of Aram finds out where Elisha is. He encircles the city, and Elisha's servant gets up early in the morning, and he goes out, and he looks outside the city, and there are all the Aramean soldiers surrounding the city. And he runs back to Elisha, and he is just terrified. And Elisha prays, "Oh Lord, open his eyes that he might see." And then Elisha's servant is able to see that everything is all right because his eyes are opened to see what cannot be seen. He sees God's angel armies, the horses and chariots of God surrounding him on the hills around the city. And Elisha is safe. Everything is all right. You and I are led into that place where everything is all right when we know that we're not facing the pain alone. That we're not in this battle alone. That the Lord is with us. That those who are with us is greater than those who are against us. He calls his angels to protect us. We are not fighting this battle alone. Lord, open our eyes to see what we can't otherwise see, and give us that knowledge that everything is all right, even though we can't see it with these eyes. And then that place where everything is all right is illustrated by Jesus' words in Revelation chapter 3, verse 21. There in his letter to the Laodiceans, Jesus writes, "To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne." You and I are led into a place where everything is all right when we remember who wins in the end. I loved this meme that was on our Facebook page this past week. Spoiler alert, God wins. This is what the Holy Spirit needs to remind us of. You and I don't care who it is in a place of emotional pain. I hope that it's not as severe as what Austin Eubanks had to experience, but every one of us is placed in places where it just hurts, and we can't see the end. But remember who wins in the end, and that's why Jesus promises, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit who will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Jesus was saying that to the disciples. I'm going to have the Holy Spirit remind you of what I taught you. And that's a promise to us too, as we open up God's Word, that the Holy Spirit will remind us that we can live in a place of peace where everything is all right, even though we can't see it with these eyes. I am forgiven, I am not alone, and I know who wins in the end. You're not alone. You're not alone. Remember, the Holy Spirit has been promised to you. But the Holy Spirit reminds you of what Jesus taught. Jesus also spoke about not just peace, but also about love. You see, I think there is a problem with our understanding of how to love God. Maybe you've heard of the book, The Five Love Languages, written by Gary Chapman. If you've never read it, it's a great book. It just reminds us that there are different ways that we want to receive love. We're wired differently. But don't read the five love languages with the idea, I wonder what love language I am, and I hope that everybody shows me that love. You read the five love languages and seek to understand what is the love language of your family members, the people that you're called to love, so that you can love them the way that is most meaningful to them. This is what we need to remember as Jesus promises the Holy Spirit to be our guide. So very often, I think we as Christians assume that God wants to be loved the way we want to love him. That our love language is the one that's most important. I'll love you most when things are going well. I'll love you most when I can do what I want. But Jesus says, if you love me, you'll obey my teaching. How does God want to be loved? It's by obedience. In the Old Testament, one time when Saul claimed that he was saving the best animals for sacrifice, the prophet Samuel said to obey is better than sacrifice. Which brings me to this picture. I love this picture because it's a picture of cow paths. One of the things that I loved doing growing up was I'd have to go out and get the cows from the pasture. And what's fascinating about cows, if you've never followed cows in from the pasture, is they could walk just about anywhere. But they always walk in the same place. They walk on the same paths. So you see all those cow paths. They're just kind of wandering all over. And that, to me, is a great picture of the way that we tend to want to love God. God, I love you. I just want to do what I want to do. And you'll understand, because I'm the exception to the rule, to obey is better than sacrifice. So Jesus promises, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit to remind you what it means to love. So what is the facts? This is a quote from Revelation chapter 3, where Jesus is speaking to the Christians in Laodicea. He says, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other, because you are lukewarm. Lukewarm. Does anybody like lukewarm coffee? I stopped in and talked to our local... there we go. I went in this morning and talked to our local baristas. And just asked, you know, does anybody order lukewarm coffee? And they said, neither one of them has ever experienced somebody actually walking in and saying, please give me a cup of lukewarm coffee. This is the coffee that I bought at about 6:30 this morning. Lukewarm. Lukewarm. Nobody likes lukewarm, right? Nobody orders lukewarm. Because you are lukewarm. Jesus is talking to a church like ours, and he says, because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of your mouth, out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and did not need a thing, but you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline, so be earnest and repent. As we seek guidance from the Holy Spirit, we want to be guided into a place of peace where everything is all right. We have a God who loves us, who's forgiven us, and he's present with us, and we know who wins in the end. But we also want to be guided into a place of obedience. This is our natural path. We follow the path of least resistance. You know, why is it that we study God's word? Well, because we need a straight edge that tells us exactly what is God's will. And so as we're asking, Lord, fulfill your promise in us. Certainly Jesus fulfilled his promise in the disciples. He sent the Holy Spirit to them. This is what he promises all the way through this conversation. I'm going to leave you, but I'm not leaving you alone. Don't worry, I'm going to send a guide. He's the Holy Spirit. He's going to remind you. He's going to guide you into all truth. And we trust that the Holy Spirit fulfilled that promise. He led the disciples into truth so that they could write down God's inspired word. But that promise is still being fulfilled to us today as we look at that inspired word and let the Holy Spirit remind us of Jesus' teachings as we read that word. So let's not just be content saying, oh, I found the place of peace. I am forgiven. Let's then not be lukewarm. Let's be led into a place where nothing is lukewarm. We are either hot or cold. Let's just be, if we don't really want to do God's will, let's just be cold. Let's give up on it and do what we want. But I pray that's not the case. I pray that you and I are hot. That we are committed to learning God's will. And I put, where are the Ten Commandments? Can you memorize, can you recite the Ten Commandments right now? Go to Exodus chapter 20. How can you know God's will if you're not thinking about it and asking the Holy Spirit to remind you to apply that will to your life? Let's be red hot. Because that's what people do who've experienced that place of peace, who love the God who has given them that place of peace. They're red hot, eager to do God's will. There's another reason why I like this picture. It reminds me of home. And in the text, it says something about a home. My Father will love them and will come to them and make our home with them. I want to live in a way that the Father always feels at home in my heart and in my life. Not because this is how I'm going to be saved, but because he's led me into a place of perfect peace, a place better than the home that I remember growing up. I pray that's your desire too. So let's open up the Word. Let the Holy Spirit guide you into that place of peace. Let the Holy Spirit guide you to love the way God wants to be loved, by knowing his will and seeking with all your strength to do God's will. And then just rejoice that your heart is is God's home. There's no place where he'd rather be. Let's pray. Please stand. Lord, there's some of us here today. We're struggling to find that place of peace. Let the Holy Spirit remind us what Jesus has done, to remind us of your promises. Grant that peace that the world cannot give, that peace that surpasses all understanding. Lord, we all have to admit that there are so many ways that we say, Lord, we want to love you, just we want to love you the way we want to love you, not the way you want to be loved. Where we've gone our own ways, we admit it. And we ask you again to assure us of your peace and your forgiveness. Guide us, Lord, so that our every action, our every word, our every thought might be one of those invitations to you, Father, to come and dwell in our hearts, because this is your home. Help us to find that place of peace. Help us to be a place where we're never lukewarm. Lord, you work that miracle in your church over and over again across the centuries. And God's people have gathered together to worship you for nearly 2,000 years since Jesus rose from the dead. So in a desire to unite with the church all over the world and to unite with the church across the centuries, we want to join in making a confession to you. So let's join in confessing our faith using the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And Lord, we just surrender ourselves to you and ask you to use us to your glory. Amen.